Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Eight protesters calling themselves White Lives Matter were arrested in Austin, Texas over the weekend. The demonstrations began Saturday morning during the unveiling of a monument at the Texas State Capitol dedicated to the contributions of African Americans to the state throughout history. The White Lives Matter protesters are, of course, a direct response to the Black Lives Matter movement, which has swelled in support since it began after the death of Trayvon Martin in 2012. And White Lives Matter also appear to have taken a strong cue from President-elect Donald Trump. Here he is at a campaign rally in Virginia back in February.
You're going to hear it once. All lives matter. All lives matter.
So now, with the election over, Black Lives Matter is at a crossroads for its movement. It was an election that went to a candidate who, as you just heard, stoked sentiments among white voters that were antithetical to the Black Lives Matter mission. It's a setback for the movement as it faces possible new policies on immigration and policing that cut against the achievements and conversations the group has fostered over the last couple of years. Opal Tometi is one of three co-founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. She's also currently running the Black Alliance for Just Immigration. And she says after the setbacks of the election, this has been a pivotal moment of looking inward.
We've been thinking a lot about the work that we have to do in our own communities, the work that we have to do with low-income Black and brown people who are, you know, struggling right now and really looking to defend themselves and ensure that they are safe in their communities and that their rights are maintained and forwarded. But we're also taking account the real disconnect that we feel is happening in our society with our political options and the two-party system, and really asking ourselves whether or not it truly serves us. For example, we're having a real discussion about Hillary Clinton, right? And making a distinction between the type of feminism that she represents, which is a particular type, and distinguishing between that and her actual track record, right? We're taking account for the real substantive actions that people that we elect into office or people who we hope to represent us at the highest office really stand for. And what we are now faced with is the fact that we didn't really have what it took or what it takes to elect the type of courageous, visionary leader that these times really warranted.
So it sounds like what you're reckoning with, if I'm reading what you're saying, is you're reckoning with a couple of things maybe in your coalition. One, Black folks did not come out to vote in the way that Democrats needed. And two, maybe this wasn't the right candidate for the Democratic Party and your movement should have done more to get behind somebody else like Bernie Sanders or some other type of candidate. I'm not sure if I'm reading that right.
No, actually, I wouldn't say that. I would actually say that there are a number of communities that weren't actually represented and didn't come out to vote. People were disillusioned by the candidates all across the board. And so we had, you know, people who actually just did not show up. And so I would never blame that on any community of color by any means. I think there, when we look at the statistics, we see that there was an overwhelming number of white women and even college educated white women who voted for a Donald Trump. And so I think that there has to be a little bit more nuance when we discuss who actually turned up, why did they vote in various ways. And what I think our movement is actually grappling with is the fact that we have a disconnect between what is offered for us, right? So the representation that we see and what our experiences are on the ground.
You're in activist circles. You're extremely politically active, and most of the people around you are, surely. I know that you voted. Do you have people in your own life who even know you, friends, family, who didn't vote in this election either through apathy or disillusionment?
Yes, I do know some people who did not vote based on their sheer disillusionment with the candidates and what they felt that their vote could actually do.
What are those conversations like between you and somebody like that? Whether or not you tell them who to vote for, I don't know, but your entire life is politics at this point, and I think you have a pretty close connection to the idea that it matters.
These days, those conversations to me look like empowerment, ensuring that people, no matter what their political affiliation is, no matter what they're seeing in the candidates, that they feel connected to their own agency. And so they don't actually have to go out and vote.
I completely understand that with one part of my brain. And on the other part of my brain, when I talk to somebody like you, look, we all have a stake, but to hear somebody like you say it doesn't have to be about voting in an election that is razor thin close with unbelievable differences in consequences according to one candidate or the other, I sort of can't believe what I'm hearing.
And I could understand your astonishment. I absolutely can. I, however, honestly believe that. I encourage people to vote. I encourage people to engage in any act of democracy that they could possibly engage in. And for those who are disillusioned, and I, you know, we struggle, we go back and forth, and we lay out the spectrum of ways that people can get involved in their own, in their democracy. Some people don't see that voting is it, and I do not necessarily blame them.
So gains and goals, the actual goals of your movement. There have been some gains made since Black Lives Matter came on the scene in response to police violence. Body cameras is one small advance that have spread to some jurisdictions throughout the country. So what changes do you realistically want to see within the next 4 years? What's on your agenda in terms of policy, something specific that you want to see?
I'm really looking to work at the local level. I think we have a lot more opportunity and we have a lot more power there. We know that there are elected officials who have been working closely alongside our communities, our organizations for several years, and we hope to ensure that we can build out protective measures for the most vulnerable amongst us. So Muslim communities, immigrant communities, we need to ensure that we protect Black and brown youth first and foremost. And so we're looking for local solutions that begin to examine how funding is used. Is it being used to support education and housing and access to jobs and things like that? Or is it being used to over-police our communities? We're grappling with that at the very local level, and I think that there's a lot that our communities can do.
We've been asking a lot of people lately who've come on the show this question. I'm going to ask you, is Donald Trump your president?
I feel that he is a presence that is really the epitome of the backlash that our communities are experiencing, right? Just like countless other presidents that have come before him, we'll see amazing and vibrant social movements that aim to challenge the presidents and to transform our systems so that we have a society where there is equity and where there's justice for all of us.
Could you see yourself negotiating with, legitimizing Donald Trump in the Oval Office if you were invited?
What I'm most concerned about now is Black people. I'm also concerned about brown people, poor people. I'm in deep conversation with them at this moment about their survival and about how eventually we'll need to be back to thriving, right? Those conversations with somebody like a Donald Trump, I'm not sure that they need to be prioritized at this moment. And I think we have to be cautious about what it looks like to engage with people who have no stake in our humanity. And we have to continue to contest and build power amongst our own people so that we don't have to negotiate with hate.
Opal Tometi is co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. She's currently running the Black Alliance for Just Immigration. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.